A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. I've got a question here for you, Scott, before we get into our next topic here. Although, we do have something else to do. It's a Win Ticket Wednesday.
What?
Is this serious? Is this a five-pack of tickets? Okay. Family five-pack of tickets to Real Salt Lake versus the LA Galaxy. In Sandy, of course. The U.S. Open Cup. That's on June 7th, so that's next Wednesday. Next Wednesday, Real Salt Lake versus the LA Galaxy. You can check it out on our Win Ticket Wednesday. You can be caller number 12 right now and win a pack of five tickets to Real Salt Lake and the LA Galaxy. 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE. 801-575-9663. Caller number 12. That's awesome. Five pack of tickets. At that point, you're going, I got to start bringing everybody here. And in my case, it'll get half of my family there. So there you go. I want to ask you something, Scott, because I was thinking about this the other day, and I thought, if you could start over and you could choose where you were born and what fandom you had, think about it.
I was born?
Not really where you were born, but I'm saying like where, you know, you grew up. And in your case, you cheered for BYU quite a bit through your youth.
Yeah.
And then when you ended up going to school, you went to the University of Utah, so that allegiance flipped, obviously. But, like, I grew up in a couple different places, so I cheered for teams, you know, kind of that were there locally. And it was never really a good payoff. You know, like, growing up going to Mavericks games when I was a kid, you know, when I was between the age of, like, 10 and 15, I was like, this team sucks. They were terrible. Now, the Cowboys won a lot of games, but I didn't really root for the Cowboys. My parents weren't Cowboys fans. I didn't grow up with that. But if you could choose and say, you know what would actually pay off all the time to be this fan of this group. Now, my kids have had the benefit of bandwagon jumping their entire freaking lives. And I think that's part of a generational thing. Guys like Mitch Harper, Matt Biamonte, they do the same thing. They go, I'm a Lakers fan now. Why? Because they won a bunch of titles. Well, great. You know?
You know, so, that sounds shallow, by the way.
Of course it does.
Yeah. But because being a fan is... You're there all the time.
Right. And
you're there through the good, the bad, the whole thing. That's being a fan.
But you know when you – there are teams that we hate. Like, I've just never been a Yankees fan. I've never been a Lakers fan. But there are some teams you look at and you go, man, that'd be fun to be a fan of X team. What team would it be that you could say that would be awesome to have grown up?
So you're saying grow up in that area?
Yeah, cheer for that fan group or cheer for that team. You're a part of it. Not necessarily just because it wins, but because of the history of it and all that.
The Joe Montana era 49ers.
Okay.
The Roger Staubach era Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Kind of, and I'll tell you where I would have loved to have been in Florida growing up.
In the early 70s.
And have been a Miami Dolphins
fan. Yeah. Good time to cheer for them.
I would have loved to have grown up in Miami, cheered for the Dolphins early on, cheered for Dan Marino, and then actually have been like that's where I ended.
You ended up.
And I love that. I love playing for the Miami Dolphins. I wished I could have played my whole career there.
Did 4 years there, right?
Uh-huh. But that would have been really cool to grow up with your team and your heroes and all that stuff and then actually go on and played for that team. That would be cool. That'd be way cool. Tom Brady kind of grew up a 49ers fan, and he really and felt jilted, you know, by the local team.
I hate these guys, but when I know people who are from Ohio and there's a lot of jealousy for me for people who are Ohio State fans.
Oh, yeah?
Like, think about how amazing the horseshoe is. You played there. Think about how big of a situation Big Ten football is. And not just Big Ten football, top of the table Big Ten football.
Yeah.
Awesome. You think about, like, historically your Penn States, your Michigans, your Ohio States, even Michigan State to a degree.
I'm not sure there's anything better than a whiteout game in Happy Valley.
Oh, at Penn State? Yeah, that would be something. Yeah,
My agent actually...
What do they call that? Beaver State? Is that Beaver Stadium? What they call Penn State?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
My agent is he's had a lot of Penn State guys through the years, and there's something different about Penn State guys. There's a different, you know. I don't know.
They're like trained better. They're like brought up well.
Kind of.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah, better human beings. I'm not joking.
They're see that.
They're just in fact two former Penn State guys work for him now.
I think they're
just quality people.
Yeah, and I think that if we really were being honest with ourselves, the fan bases we hate the most are the ones that have had so much success, and they're just so dang arrogant because they're so good, you know. And Alabama fans, you know, like they grew up going, I am a Crimson Tide fan, and they've been good forever.
Yeah, I would have loved to have played at USC when they're good.
USC would be a fun team
Ohio
to cheer
State
from.
Ohio State would be a great team to be a part of. And really, like Miami when they were good.
By the
like
way,
University of Miami.
These are all teams that, like, if you ask me, you say, "Did you say you liked Ohio State?" I say, "No, I hate them. I will deny all this." But there's a secret part of me that goes, "I think it would be such a cool thing to grow up being." You said a USC fan. I know exactly. I can't stand a USC fan. But you know what? If you grew up in LA and you're like, "I'm a Dodger fan," I'm a USC fan. That's
now, baseball,
pretty hard.
That's a pretty whole hard. Different.
I know.
I was a huge Dodgers fan growing
up. But I mean,
up.
Like, that would be, yeah, and I couldn't be.
And
I just wasn't.
I love the Dodgers.
I couldn't, and I can't, and I don't like the Dodgers generally.
Actually, secretly, I like the Yankees. I've kind of been a Yankees fan, too. It's like the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Boy,
I know it's kind of weird.
You're an unlikable person now.
Pretty much.
You've become that guy. I think there are some places where
the Braves get so lucky.
They get so lucky to be in that spot. Yeah, I mean, even Michigan fans. You grow up in Michigan, but then again, there are always the teams that are bad that are around you that you end up having to cheer for during even stretches of time. When I was growing up, I think Alabama wasn't. They went through a moment where they weren't great. You know, Gene Stallings didn't have fantastic years every year. But you think about Paul Bryant. Paul Bear Bryant to
did Mike Shula coach at Alabama?
I think he may have for
a hot second. Didn't he coach for
a
few minutes?
Yeah, right before Saban, probably. When Saban was at LSU, is that time frame? I don't know.
I'll tell you, Shula loved Alabama guys. They drafted a lot of Alabama guys through the years. David played or Mike played at Alabama.
Mike Shula played at Alabama, yes, but I don't remember if he coached there or not. Did he? How long?
4 years and preceded Saban.
Yeah, see, it was 03 to 06.
And took over for the Dennis Franchione.
Oh, Franchione, that's a forgotten time, isn't it? You just assume it goes from
Mike Price.
I know.
Mike, wasn't he at Auburn or no, no, he went to Alabama.
He
too,
went
right?
to Alabama, but he never coached
he
there.
Never
right?
coached.
He never got to coach there. Best thing that ever happened to UTEP's football program was Mike Leach going to the strip club down in Tuscaloosa.
Did he end up, in UTEP?
Yeah, he went to Mike. Didn't Mike Price go to UTEP for
he
like?
He said Leach, Coach Leach.
Oh, sorry. No, no. Mike Leach went to UTEP right after that because it was like, oh, you're.
Wait, Mike Leach or Mike Price?
Sorry, Mike Price. But I thought about both of them because Mike Leach and Mike Price both were at Wazoo for a minute. And the Mike Price that I knew.
Mike Price was at Weber State.
Yeah, and he was the head coach at Wazoo when Ryan Leaf went to the Rose Bowl. Anyway, bottom line is this: Alabama. If you grew up an Alabama fan, like boy, how lucky would you be? Yeah. Right? It's just amazing.
I think it would be fun to play for Bear Bryant.
Yeah,
some of these old time coaches that would have been an experience.
Mike Shula and Dabo Sweeney played at the same time at Alabama. By the way, pretty crazy.
Did they really?
Yeah. He was Mike Shula was drafted in the NFL, 12th round.
For a hot minute.
Yeah, 12th round.
Because Mike started coaching when I got drafted.
Yeah, I think he was there.
He was in the front office when.
Yeah, he was drafted in 87, so he would have been out of the league pretty much immediately and then working for Dad. All right. Boy, where'd the time go? I had that in my head. Well, I was just thinking, you know. If I had my druthers, like you're just born into the fandoms that you're born into sometimes.
Right.
Right? And you just go.
You go, this is the team I got.
This is my team. This is the team that my parents.
Like imagine being an Indiana football fan. I mean, there's just not a lot. I mean,
yeah. And you know, my dad taught me to be a Washington Huskies fan when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that was a great program to follow. Don James, you can't. Like that's an awesome stadium. It's an awesome group of fans. The colors leave a little bit to be desired, but you end up liking the purple at some point. And, yeah, they went to Rose Bowls, man, and they won national championships
if you're a Utah fan and you've been around for some time, that's got to have a feel-good to it.
Oh, it came around, man.
Yeah. And BYU, you could argue, maybe went a different direction. I mean, Lavelle Edwards in that era, that was a special time. I mean, there's some amazing, amazing players came through BYU.
You know who the most
amazing guys.
Yes.
And then it kind of went into – into independence and it's
thanks Bronco. You really made us love football.
Well, and that's hard, you know.
I know
it's really hard as a fan to kind of go from being the haves to the have-nots, and then.
Well, let me tell you, I think the fan group that it paid off the most that you stuck with them for years. It's got it. The number one's got to be New England, right? Where it's just like you were garbage like decades.
They never won,
right?
Well, they did go to a Super Bowl.
They did, but they got beat 46-10 by the Bears. Like,
they had lost before the game started.
So I think that there are.
What will the Celtics do with Jaylen Brown?
Oh boy, mm-hmm. Scott just saw something on TV. Mm-hmm. He's starting to get. Oh.
Wojo is
no, it's Windhorse. That's Brian Windhorse. Yeah. Now they're talking about it. I don't know. As soon as the more days you're removed from
Game 7
defeat, maybe Jaylen Brown starts to go visit some friends. Maybe he gets a text or two from Danny Ainge. You think Danny Ainge didn't text him and go? Love to have you out in Salt Lake City. Or can you not even do that? Is that tampering?
I'm sure there's tampering issues. Yeah.
He just sends him a skiing brochure, maybe? Hey, I'd love to have you hang out here. That has nothing to do with... No, we're friends. We've been longtime friends. So, I just wanted to see if you wanted to come to my chalet.
Well, no, all these people hang out somewhere, right? Remember Matt Stafford was in Cabo?
Ryan Seacrest came down and asked him if he wanted to play. Hey, do you play football? Yeah, I'm Matt Stafford. Oh, cool. I was just seeing if you liked it. Maybe you like LA? I'm just asking general questions.
I mean, compared to Detroit, right? You'd rather be in LA.
Of course. Of course.
Maybe there's no rules. Like if you're in another country. You know,
there you go.
Like if you're in Mexico,
you can have a conversation. Hey, let's meet in Germany. And we'll have it's like a G20 summit, but with all the best players. Where do you want to play? We can talk about it here. Doesn't matter. All right, we'll come back. We've got more to go around the corner. I do have this this list here. What's the one game that is must win, have to win on the football schedules for BYU and Utah? I'll roll out some of those schedules and you go, if I can have this one, that's the one you have to get. You have to have that one. Stay with us, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.